This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Domestic workers urged New York State passage of Fair Labor Standards in 2010.
Legendary civil rights era activist Esther Cooper Jackson, distinguished labor activist alongside of cheering nannies and housekeepers and elderly caregivers, raised their voices in tribute to domestic workers.
And demanded basic benefits such as minimum wages, paid leave, and notice and protection from discrimination by passage of Senator Dianne Savino's and Assemblyman Keith Wright's Domestic Workers Bill of Rights.
So let's listen to Barbara Young, Domestic Workers United, Ed Ott, labor activist Hector Figueroa, Secretary Treasurer of Local 32BJ, and George Grisham, 1199 SEIU President, and Esther Cooper Jackson, and State Senator Dianne Savino right now.
My name is Barbara Young. I'm a proud nanny and co-chair of the Steering Committee of Domestic Workers United. My co-MC, someone who has not only stood by us, but supported us every step of the way in our struggle. Distinguished lecturer at CUNY and former executive director of the New York City Central Labor Council, Ed Ott.
The work of the domestic workers is something that I have always been very honored to be associated with. This gathering is extremely important because it comes at a time when domestic workers are at a crucial intersection. The passage of the Domestic Bill of Rights requires that people of good conscience step up and show their support. These are workers who work in complete isolation under some of the most terrible conditions. They were consciously left out of the New Deal reforms as an appeasement to Southern cracker senators of the Democratic Party. They were left out of the laws of New York State for racial reasons. We are trying to correct a great, great social injustice. And this meeting is hopefully the beginning of the end of that great injustice. With that, I would like to turn podium back over to Barbara.
Domestic workers are nannies, housekeepers, and elderly caregivers who care for the most important elements of their employers' lives, their families, and their homes. Most of us are immigrant women, women of color. We come here because of the current policies of neoliberal globalization that have made it impossible for us to support our families in our home countries. Every day we leave our homes early in the morning, often before sunrise, to arrive at work in time for our employers to go to their work. And we are the last to leave in the evening because we have to wait until our employers come home. We make it possible for New York's professionals to go to work. Our work is so important, yet we face much abuse and exploitation on the job. We work long hours for low wages and are in constant danger of losing our job. If and when we dare to assert our rights, we are fired without the possibility of seeking justice. We are organized and we are demanding labor standards. That is why we are urging New York State to push for the swift passage of the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights. Not one more day. We need to bring justice, dignity, and equity to our workforce.
We are more than thrilled that this next person was able to be here with us tonight. He is head of the largest local in the world, representing more than 300,000 workers. Of those, 70,000 are home care workers. SEIU 1199 President George Grisham has understood quite well that these workers are in need of a union.
I feel honored and privileged to be here today. My parents moved here in the late 50s from the South in order to find a better way to take care of their families It was migration rather than immigration, but it's the same scenario. They became domestic workers. It is embarrassing to our country and it's embarrassing to our state that we have to come here today to fight for dignity of people, that they should get compensated for the work that they achieve. It is unimaginable, but in these days and times, that people can work for labor, and just to hear that people are being paid $3 an hour, it's outrageous. Our organization will be committed to be a part of this struggle. We will make sure that if there are any influences that we have with the 350,000 members that we have at 1199, that we will do this, because this should never be on the table. Working people these days are looking for a way to get fairness and justice. And unfortunately, there's a void of leadership. And I think it's good people like the people in this room that must stand up, that we must make our voices hear. And I can think of no better place to start than for the domestic workers. It's a crime. It's a shame. It ought to be against the law. And we need to change the law. So, sisters and brothers, I'm greatly affected by the way that I was raised, that I was raised by some very strong women and men under the cloak of segregation. And it was very hard to live in a system that by law said that you were second class. But as a result of that, I've learned not to take no for an answer. A result of that, I know that there is more goodwill than bad will out here. You just need to organize it and make people know about the process and what needs to get done. And I am convinced that the majority of the people, if they know people are treated so badly, will stand up and say, you better change the law. No one has the right to take advantage of people. No one has the right to take away their rights to take care of their families. And so we have to take this all the way. I don't want to be just someone that comes and gives speeches. I want to be someone that helps to make sure that progress and action gets done. And so I say to Ed and to the people that convene this meeting, use our organization for justice and an example and the resources that are necessary, because as long as there's one person out there suffering, we're all suffering. Thank you so much, sisters and brothers. Thank you.
Some of you have been reading the papers how the doormen in the residential industry were almost on the brink of having a strike. One of the most fearless unions in this city is Local 32BJ of the Service Employees International Union. We are honored tonight to have their Secretary Treasurer, Hector Figueroa, a true fighting trade unionist.
The home of the Domestic Workers United is Local 32BJ, which is to bring justice and dignity and protections to a group of workers that really deserve the domestic work. We experienced the dysfunctionality of Albany last year. I stood with Domestic Workers United in Albany when we were at the verge of passing the Bill of Rights. We succeeded in passing it in one branch of the government, at the Assembly, but we were not able to secure it in the Senate because of the, I would say, very straightforward selfishness and short, narrow vision of some of our leaders. We are here tonight to make sure that with your support, that we will not allow Albany to be in between justice and the needs of these workers. We need to pass the Bill of Rights this year. We need to reconcile the Assembly with the Senate. And we need to make sure that the governor signs it into law. And that is a commitment we are making. Can we do that? Se puede hacer? With the problems that some of those leaders are facing today due to their own selfish actions, I know where the side of justice is, and that is with us. So let's not waste any time, and after this event, let's follow the plan, let's do whatever DW asks us to do, and even more, to make sure that this becomes the true law of the land, the Bill of Rights. We need to nurture DW and DW-like organizations Us in the labor movement have seen decades and decades of decline. Too often fight over the little remainings that are coming to our table instead of focusing on organizing more and more workers. If you commit yourself to DW, you are not only supporting a great workers' advocate organization, you are also beginning to put the seed of what the labor movement should be back again in this country, which is a movement of justice and dignity. Whether we have the law or we don't have the law on our side, working people can organize and have victories. Let's support DW and let's think of ways of looking at this organization as another area where we can find inspiration and energy for the overall labor movement. Can we also make that commitment to ourselves, that we can fight for social unionism, for a way of linking community and labor back again, right? We can do that. We need to pass the Bill of Rights, but we need also to do much more. We need to change the balance of power in this country. We need to change the direction where we are headed. Even with a president that many of us actively supported, it's become very clear that without the wind, our sailing boat is not going to go very far. We are the wind of the movement in this country. It begins with organizations like DW. It begins with working men and women who dedicate themselves to bring bread to their families by providing services to others. If we are serious about changing the course of our country, we need to begin from the bottom up. And the bottom up is supporting the fight for justice of working people today, of immigrant women workers, of immigrant men workers, of black, whites, Latinos, all the working people that are the beautiful mosaic and the rainbow of this nation. We got to begin to build political power, and the workplace is certainly a good place to start. So let's recommit ourselves for the broader vision that animates the demands and the aspirations of Domestic Workers United. It's going to be hard. This is a long struggle. But this group of members of our community of working people has shown us that we can still fight and we can still, yes, win in this environment. So let's make the difference.
For 6 years, we've been trying to get this bill passed in Albany for the rights of workers. And without this next person, we would have an awfully hard time getting heard in Albany. This one strong person has been a champion for the rights of women, Senator Dianne Savino.
The Domestic Workers United, you guys have some of the best advocates in Albany I have ever seen. I may have drafted the bill, but you guys have worked this piece of legislation. 35 people in the New York State Senate, Democrats and Republicans, have said publicly they will vote for this bill. The governor's office has indicated they will sign this bill. It has taken hundreds of years to get what so many of us take for granted. And in fact, in 1935, when the landmark National Labor Relations Act was passed, working people achieved something that had taken them centuries to get. But not all working people. Left out of that landmark bill were two groups of workers. One of them was farm workers, and the second was domestic workers. Now, farm workers have had intermittent progress across the country. Not here in New York, though, unfortunately. We still don't have a Farm Workers' Bill of Rights. But there's not a state in this country that has passed a Domestic Workers' Bill of Rights. And what does the Domestic Workers' Bill of Rights call for? Some of the very same things that every other worker in this room that is covered by federal law and state law takes for granted. The 8-hour workday, paid holidays, vacation time and sick time, dignity in the workplace. That's what domestic workers want. They want the same thing that every worker in this country is entitled to and takes for granted. New York State has been a leader with respect to labor law for decades, and we are going to have a Domestic Workers' Bill of Rights before the federal government. Maybe then our fearless leader, Barack Obama, who I totally support 100%, maybe then he'll listen and he'll realize it is time to improve labor law on the federal level, because an injury to one is an injury to all. Now, we live in very strange times, and I was really kind of, I don't know, bewildered when the city council passed legislation with respect to horses. And they, in their infinite wisdom, and that's important, you know, we shouldn't abuse animals and we don't want to see anybody abused, but they felt it was important enough to pass a bill to grant carriage horses 2 days of rest. But domestic workers don't even have one. So I think, minimally, we should give domestic workers what we give the horses in the city of New York. This is an issue of fairness. It's an issue of dignity. And God knows we can provide it for women that are taking care of our children. So we're going to get this bill. We did have a little bit of dysfunction in the Senate last year. Nobody was more disappointed by the impact on the movement of this bill than I was. We have 35 yes votes. I want 40. So we're going to work to get the other 5. And then we're going to pass this bill, and we are going to then get to a conference committee with the Assembly. We're going to get this bill passed, and Governor Patterson, he is going to pass this bill and finally provide dignity and equal rights for domestic workers. So our fight is not over. We're going to do this. And by the end of this legislative session, we are all going to stand there and watch David A. Patterson sign this bill into law.
Our next speaker. She was a co-founder and leader of the Southern Negro Youth Congress, a pre-civil rights era organization. And for 25 years, she was the managing editor of Freedom Ways, an influential cultural and political quarterly. This is one fierce lady who has been on the front lines for over 70 years, from the struggle to secure voting rights to the fight against lynching and segregation. And as if that weren't enough, she was also active in supporting domestic worker organizing in the 30s and 40s. Please join me in welcoming Esther Cooper Jackson.
It is indeed a great honor to join all of you here for the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights, much of which has been said has a long history of earlier organizing efforts, such as the one in which I supported, researched, and helped organize some 70 years ago in 1939 and 1940. Afterwards, writing a study of Negro women domestic workers in relation to trade unionism. More women in the United States worked in domestic service at that time than in any other occupation. About 1.5 million women were employed in domestic service, and black women had to face even more discrimination and prejudice, in addition to the problems faced by most domestic workers. The study that I did emphasized particularly their participation in trade union activity. More black women at that time were in domestic work and personal service than in any other occupation. They not only suffered from lack of employment standards, long hours, and low wages, but they also had lower pay and worked longer standards than white workers. One of the ugliest aspects was the way in which young women were shipped in carloads from the South to stand on corners waiting for work for 25 to 35 cents an hour. These workers were the nucleus of the union in New York City. I visited the cities in the United States where there had been some attempt at unionization: New York City, Newark, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. As you know, this was the Depression year. I was able to spend quite a bit of time with some of the organizers, particularly in New York City and in Chicago. And I still have maintained what they had worked out for employers to sign for their workers. We got very little support from organized labor, although at one time I took the results of the study that I did and took it to Washington to some of the leaders of the CIO and AFL. Of course, nothing developed. This was not considered at this time an important struggle to take place. We did have some support from the black press. We had some support from the Women's Trade Union League, the Young Women's Christian Association, and from the WPA administration. And it is a tragedy of our country that we're facing the same problems 70 years from the first serious attempt in this country to organize domestic workers. And I said at the end of the study that the problems faced by domestic workers can only be solved by unionization. I have a deep appreciation for this important work, and now there's great hope that it will be accomplished.
The next speaker. She's been a champion here in New York City since the very beginning of our struggle. She was right here with us to help us pass important city legislation regulating the agencies that place us in domestic work, and to make sure that when the agencies place us in jobs, that they inform us of our rights and the employers of their obligations. And when we sought to do the unthinkable, to change labor law, again, she was right there with us in the rallies, in the marches, in the vigils, press conferences, public hearings, you name it. Last year, she was instrumental in getting the city council to issue a proclamation celebrating the contributions of domestic workers to New York City. Please put your hands together and welcome Council Member Gail Brewer, a true champion for working people's rights in the city.
I'm here because all of the good work, the commitment, the incredible organizing, and from all the amazing people who are part of Domestic Workers United, because I say this over and over again, it's not just the amazing need to pass the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights in Albany. The fact of the matter is, I really believe that the organizing work that is done by Domestic Workers United is some of the best organizing in the world. How you go about it, how you organize with different organizations like JFRITS, how you make sure that the organizing is fun as well as committed is something that the rest of us could learn from. So I just want to thank you for the amazing organizing that DWU does on a daily basis. And then, of course, there's the fact that over and over again, you come to City Hall, you've gone to Albany, and some of you have gone to Washington. There is no way that that bill is not going to pass in Albany because of the need, the good organizing, and the fact that this group of women is so deserving. If you are not in our homes, the city of New York would close down. That is the kind of backbone that you are to the city, and obviously you deserve all the benefits and all the money that goes with that work. Finally, much thanks to Brad Lander and others in the City Council, we are working on, it has not passed yet, we are working on a paid sick leave bill in the City Council. Boy, is it controversial. But because, again, of many colleagues in the City Council, 35 out of 51 have signed on, and we are working night and day to show the private sector, which includes your employers, that it is absolutely necessary for every worker in the city of New York to be able to take 5 or more paid sick days off. Every worker in the United States, but now we're talking about New York City, should have paid sick leave, and we want to pass that legislation. So in summary, I say thank you, Domestic Workers United. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to work with you all these years. And I look forward to passing the Bill of Rights in Albany, but more importantly, to continuing to learn from you the best organizing in the United States. Thank you very much.
So we have to get a domestic workers' bill of rights this year. Now, now is the time.
Recently, both the New York State Senate and Assembly passed differing versions of the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights. The bill is in conference committee and then goes to Governor Patterson for a signature or veto. Please go to our website, www.buildingbridgesradio.org, to find out if and when New York State will become the first, but certainly not the last, state to adopt a Domestic Workers Bill of Rights.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.